Still moving and grooving right along as we're on a mad sprint to 105 p.m. Eastern Time. Tapped in to the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 105. Like I mentioned, Charlie and Dave will take over from there. Nats baseball coming your way here on The Fan. So make sure you keep it live and local all afternoon long as you'll get to see the Nats try and take 2 out of 3 against the San Francisco Giants. Michael Soroka on the bump for D.C. It is a 1:35 first pitch. You can hear all of the action right here on The Fan. A lot more to get to. Our pal Trevor Sikkema going to join the program coming up top of the 12 o'clock hour as we start to get into the burgundy and gold here a little bit. In this 11 o'clock hour, we'll jump all over the place. I want to start with Pacers and Knicks, game number 3. That series moves from the world's most famous arena to the old blue-collar state of Indiana, is where you'll see game number 3. Pacers at home. They are 7-0 all-time in playoff series when leading 2-0. So we'll see if history is on the side of Indiana. I said it yesterday. I'll continue to say this about tonight when it comes to Knicks and Pacers. I didn't like Minnesota last night because I thought that OKC is just the more supremely talented team, and that, I thought it was over. I thought we were looking at a clean sweep. But shout out to the T-Wolves for getting in their bag, bouncing back the way that they did. As for tonight, there are some rumors out there right now that there is a lineup switch being considered by Knicks head coach Tom Thibodeau, and that switch would be inserting Mitchell Robinson into the starting lineup here. And if you look at the way Mitch Robinson has played throughout the first 2 games of this series, he has been tremendous for New York, getting better each game. Game 1, it was 21 minutes, but he racked up 8 rebounds, including 4 offensive rebounds, so getting some extra possessions for the New York Knicks. And game number 2 is really when he decided to, you know, go out and pop his collar, so to speak, in terms of just impact. 3 blocks, 9 rebounds, 6 points. His impact on the glass and defensively is where I think he is felt. He is a genuine, true rim protector for New York, and he masks a lot of the deficiencies that Karl Anthony Towns has on the defensive end. So the rumor is they're going to elect or may elect to take Josh Hart out of the starting lineup and replace him with Mitchell Robinson, going a little bit bigger. Josh Hart hasn't really been effective in this series throughout the first 2 games. Just 8 points in game 1, 6 points in game number 2. Game 1 was much more impactful, you know, 7 assists, 13 rebounds. You love his defense, obviously. You want him out there, but if the offensive game is going to be as limited as it has been, then maybe you have to take some liberty here and go, look, what's the best lineup that we can put out on the floor? Because we cannot fall down 3-0. It is for that reason, right, what I just said. They cannot fall down 3-0. For that reason, I like New York tonight. I do. First and foremost, it's hard, as you saw last night, it is hard to win 3 straight games in a postseason series. It just is. It's a very tall task. And realistically speaking, like on paper, if you're just looking at the rosters, Indiana's the deeper team here. Indiana's going 8-9 deep at times. New York's playing 2 guys off the bench, Deuce McBride and Mitch Robinson. And that'll change, obviously, tonight if Josh Hart goes to the bench. But the reason I like New York, despite Indy being the deeper team, the reason why I like New York tonight is down 2-0. You can't fake desperation. They're the more desperate team heading into tonight. They're going to play harder. They're going to dive for the loose 50-50 balls. That's just how I look at it. And I feel like for this team, talking about the Knicks, if they get swept or losing 5 to Indy, is that enough to pull the plug on Tom Thibodeau? Because I look at Tom Thibodeau as the issue here. Bad late-game decision-making. I didn't like the substitution patterns that he used over the first 2 games. And offensively, they've just got to become more creative, man. There's no reason that Karl Anthony Towns should be allowed to disappear the way that he has. It's honestly disgusting. Think about this. When it comes to Karl Anthony Towns and what he was in game number two, what he was in game number one, it just simply hasn't been enough. It just hasn't, man. So I don't know, man. It feels like to me Karl-Anthony Towns is getting outplayed by Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner, and that's just the reality of the situation. It just is. Now, for New York, right, like does getting outplayed in the first two games, is being down 2-0, does it light a fire under Karl-Anthony Towns? Does he play harder? Does he play better? I can't call it. I don't know if that's the case or not, but he's got to be better. That's the number one takeaway that I have from the first two games of this series, is that Karl-Anthony Towns, simply not good enough. They were outscored by 20 points with Cat on the floor in game number two. The five-man starting lineup of Brunson, and this is why they're, you know, considering making a switch here. The five-man starting lineup of Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby, and Karl Towns, they were outscored by 13 points in game number two and have been outscored by 29 in the first two games of this series total. So they're just being thoroughly outplayed. Their best five is being thoroughly outplayed by Indiana. And this is what happens to these Tom Thibodeau-led teams. Think about the conversation that was had during the regular season about the Knicks. It's, man, their guys sure are playing a lot of minutes. Their guys sure are getting worn out. That is what happens with these Tom Thibodeau-led teams, and they eventually fall off of a cliff at some point during the postseason. Are we watching the demise of the New York Knicks right in front of our very eyes? I'm not sure. Another number that really stood out to me, obviously we know Pascal Siakam was absolutely brilliant. 32 points through three quarters, season high 39 points. He was a dog in that basketball game. The other guy that stepped up and he was quiet for the first three quarters, Miles Turner, take a bow. 13 points in the fourth quarter. Finished with 16 on the night. But his impact in that fourth, competing on the glass, being able to stretch the floor, that's the big thing with Miles Turner. And every time I talk about the Pacers, I think about the Wizards. Not because Tyrese Halliburton and that viral clip of him telling America that the Wizards lied to him, but it's the style and brand of basketball that they play. They genuinely are playing five out because all five of these dudes can stretch the floor, talking about Nembhard, Halliburton, Miles Turner, Nesmith, as well as Pascal. So they're a free-flowing offensive group. The ball never sticks. I love watching them play, man. I do. 26 assists on 43 made field goals the other night. Like, you can't get much better than that, man. That's what you call sharing the rock. They're a selfless group. And I think they feel, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here, they feel like going into this series, folks were disrespecting them. They felt like going into this series, no one gave them a shot. And I will agree with that, man. It felt like people were looking past the Indiana Pacers. And I think people have looked past Indiana all season long. This is a 50-win basketball team with one of the best guards in the association, talking about Tyrese Halliburton. Their front court combo of Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner, one of the best in all the association. So to act as if they're just a talentless group, you'd be beside yourself. And I also think Rick Carlisle, and we know it, been around the block before, one of the best coaches has ever, you know, roamed the sideline when it comes to the NBA. So I'm super excited about that. So I feel like moving forward, specifically tonight, I want to see if they actually make a lineup switch. Talking about New York, do they insert Mitchell Robinson into the lineup? And then what would be the response of that if you are Indiana? Because here's the thing. By putting Mitchell Robinson in the starting lineup, I think it helps them from a size standpoint, from a rim protection standpoint. But offensively, you're now limited to just four guys that can stretch the floor. Say what you want about Josh Hart, but like, if he needs to, he can knock down a three. Mitchell Robinson ain't taking no threes. You know who I think probably needs to be inserted into this series over a guy like Campaign? Am I being biased here? Delon Wright. Delon Wright, the former Washington Wizard, I think really should be inserted into this series if you're Tom Thibodeau. A guy that's got size at the position, can guard, can knock down the three. It's honestly kind of confusing, man, as to why he hasn't been a part of this thing yet. PJ Tucker hasn't been a part of this thing yet either. I just don't know, man. I don't know. There have been some questionable tactical decisions from Tom Thibodeau, and it's why I'm consistently so hard on him. I just don't think he's a very good offensive coach. I don't think he's a very good X's and O's coach. I don't think he's a good situational coach. I just think he got the chance to coach Derrick Rose, and, you know, it boosts his legacy, his persona. You know, coaching in Minnesota, taking him to the playoffs, boosts his legacy, his persona. I just think with Tom Thibodeau, you can only go so far with him as your coach. And I think the Knicks and their ceiling, to me, is the conference finals. So, will they win tonight? Sure. I think so. Will they win the series? I'm not totally sure. Not totally sure. I do like them tonight, though. As they're 1.5-point underdogs. I just don't feel like Indiana's going to win 3 straight games in this series. The other thing that really gets me about this series in particular that people continue to reference, people are acting as if Indiana makes it to the finals, it's some sort of bad thing. Like, grow up. Seriously. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. There is a certain instrumental figure for the Indiana Pacers that has not been allowed in the building. Papa Haliburton. Should he be allowed back in the building tonight for game number 3? There is a certain Hall of Famer who thinks so. We'll let you hear from him next. This is The Fan. One 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 105. Make sure you keep it live and local all afternoon long, right here on 106.7 The Fan. That's baseball comes your way. Following myself, they try to take 2 out of 3 against the San Francisco Giants. It is a 1:35 first pitch. Michael Soroka on the bump for DC. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up with Nats on Deck. Coming up at 105. Top of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll be joined by Trevor Sikkema, a Pro Football Focus. Really excited to talk to him and ask him a little bit about his thoughts surrounding Terry McLaurin and what a new contract extension could look like for old scary Terry. That's coming up top of the 12 o'clock hour. Right now, though, I want to go out to the phones. My main man, Anthony, out in D.C., wants to chime in. What's going on, Anthony? How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, Lunell, man? Thanks for taking my call, bro. I appreciate you.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, so I just want to see the state of the NBA. Man, I'm from the golden ages, man. I watched basketball in the 80s, the 90s.
Oh, Anthony, you my man. But ain't no way you about to come out of your mouth and call that the golden era of basketball. Give me 1 second.
I'm not talking about golden as in age and old. I'm talking about as in competition and competitiveness.
How is that? We have the Pacers and the Thunder in the conference finals right now. If that doesn't scream parity, then what does?
Nah, Lunell, man. It's just the whole mystique and aura out of competition and basketball is not there, man. Like the old Pistons, the old Knicks, the rules is changing, the stars is changing. Like there is time low management. The stars so don't want to be in the dunk contest.
So you just don't like the current state of basketball.
Young prima donnas.
So you just don't like the current state of basketball.
I absolutely don't, Lunell. And I've been watching basketball. Well, I'm 54, so I got into basketball at least when I was like 10, really
right.
Trying to play
years.
And learn the nuances of the game. So I've been watching basketball for over, 40-something years.
Yeah.
And every, like this past generation, like it's getting, every year they put in a different rule or something else that blows my mind. I'm talking about from the foul calling to just everything from top to bottom.
Let me ask you this.
It's a joke.
Let me ask you this, Ant. So did you watch during the regular season at all?
man, I haven't been concerned with the NBA for years.
So I would say this. Anybody that's watched during the regular season that has watched this postseason version of the NBA, I think there is a stark contrast, and you probably would enjoy the playoff basketball more than the regular season basketball. But I get your point. I'll let you go on this, Anthony, and I don't know if you'll agree or disagree. I think in terms of talent, we are in the golden era of basketball. There's more talent right now in the NBA than there ever has been. And I think, especially when you consider the international flavor and the way this game has grown, I don't think it's even close. But I appreciate the call as always, man. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Look, Ant makes a good point. And I know a lot of people feel the way that Anthony feels. Anthony feels like, the NBA is not the same. They shoot too many threes. Too many fouls are called. They don't play as hard. They're not as competitive. They argue with the refs too much. Stars don't want to participate in the dunk contest. That one geeked me out because it's a real thing. It's interesting. But here's what I will say. I think the league's in great hands. I think the league will continue to grow. And we're all going to keep watching it because we're addicts for it, like I continue to say. 1-800-636-1067. Pacers and Knicks game number 3 tonight moves to Indiana. Barring a late switch, there is a certain somebody that won't be in attendance tonight. Charles Barkley, NBA on TNT. This is their final series covering the NBA for the foreseeable future as the NBA's television rights are going exclusively to ESPN and NBC. Here's what Charles Barkley had to say after game number 2. About a certain somebody being allowed back in the building for game 3.
Can I say something, Ernie? I want to reach out to Adam Silver tomorrow. He sent me a nice text tonight. I want to reach out to Adam Silver tomorrow. Me and Draymond were talking. It's time to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building.
Yes, it is.
Adam, I'm asking you. Hey, my man paid his dues. He did something really, really stupid, but he's been punished. And I'm asking you and the Indiana Pacers to let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for game 3 and 4. I mean, he paid his dues. It shouldn't be indefinite. He's been punished enough. He would never do anything that stupid again. So, Adam, you know how much I love you. And my man Kevin Pritchett, y'all let Mr. Halliburton back in the building for game 3.
So that's Charles Barkley coming to the defense of Papa Halliburton, trying to get him allowed back in the building for games number 3 and 4 as his series moves to Indiana. Real quick, though, look, Giannis is a crybaby. Let me start off with that. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a flat-out crybaby. Here's the thing. Was Tyrese Halliburton's father right for what he did? If we're, like, being, you know, ticky-tack and talking about sportsmanship and things of that nature, no. It was not smart what he did, but the reaction of Giannis Antetokounmpo was so over the top and excessive that I think the league reacted because of that. His reaction was so excessive. Think about this, man. I spent a lot of time at Capital One Arena watching the Wizards. Post game, fans walk onto the floor. Family members walk onto the floor. It's not something that is an anomaly. It's not. Now, here's the thing. Tyrese Halliburton, his father had the, it's like a blanket, I think, of Tyrese Halliburton's face on it, shooting a jumper or something like that. And he walked onto the floor after Indiana eliminated Milwaukee, and he was taunting Giannis with the flag, flashing it in front of his face. Now, when I say in front of his face, Ben, you can see me here in the studio. I've now backed up. Papa Halliburton was where I'm sitting, and Giannis was where the second mic is, that third mic is at the end. So the idea that he was in his face is an absolute joke to me. I'm in the minority with how I think about this. I got into it hard with Grant Danny over it. CK even chimed in like, clearly I'm in the minority about this. Giannis was dead ass wrong. There is no damn way. He didn't put his hands on you. There's an old adage. It was raised by my Aunt Vicky and my Uncle Steve. You know what they told me? Someone puts their hands on you, you hit them in their bleep. You don't hit first, but you hit if someone hits you. If I was Tyrese Halliburton's father, I would have smacked the daylight out of Giannis. What the hell are you doing? Putting your head on my head. Putting your face in my face. Be a better loser, Giannis. Big ass crybaby. Oh. And I know I'm in the minority with this. Everyone wants to defend Giannis. Everyone wants to. He was in the wrong. Papa Halliburton should not have gotten in my face. I'm a big crybaby who hasn't gotten out of the first round since I won the NBA Finals back in 2021. And they gave me 21 free throw attempts. That was the only reason I was able to beat the Phoenix Suns. It's a good Giannis, isn't it, Ben?
That was really good.
Because I hate him.
Danny, I don't know if Danny could do as one good
Dude,
as that.
We
had a battle with him?
Yes. So look, me and Danny, once in a blue moon, I'll get to share the floor with Danny Ruye. We're actually co-hosting together coming up Tuesday. It'll be me and Danny sitting in on G&D right here on The Fan. But I think it was two seasons ago, it was before overtime was about to start, and Danny was hosting solo. He pulled me in for the final segment, and we had a big Giannis debate. And he's not really a fan of Giannis either, so it's funny. And we did go back and forth with the Giannis accents. It was a good bit. Tyrese Halliburton's a stand-up dude, right? Here is his reaction after Papa Halliburton got in the face, allegedly, of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Oh, did you didn't? Okay, Ben, real quick. So I DM'd you, Papa Halliburton. Not Papa Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton, talking about what had happened. Here is Tyrese Halliburton taking the high road, I guess, when it comes to the spat between his father and Giannis.
You know, as far as the incident between Giannis and my pops, I had no idea it happened until I got to the back and was showed the video. Me and my pops have talked about that, and I don't agree with, you know, what transpired there from him. You know, I think basketball is basketball, and let's keep it on the court. And I think that he just, you know, got excited, saw his son make a game winner, and came on the court. But I think we had a conversation, and you know, I think he just needs to just allow me to just play basketball, stay over there. I'll come to him to celebrate. But I think it's the emotions of the game just got excited there. But I'll talk with Giannis eventually about it. Just, you know, I don't think that my pops was in the right at all there, and unfortunate, you know, what happened in the end there. But I mean, this series was a lot of war of words, a lot of war of antics, a lot of stuff going back and forth, and that's just part of, you know, this rivalry and what we've built here over the last couple of years. And you know, it's unfortunate what happened there, but I think it's just competition. And as far as my pops, again, I don't agree what happened there. We'll have a conversation. You know, everybody's grown men, and you know, we'll just go from there.
Tyrese Halliburton taking the high road post-game after the Pacers eliminated the Bucks. This is relevant because the series has now moved back to Indiana. The consequence for Papa Halliburton was he was suspended indefinitely from attending postseason games by the NBA. I don't know if it was it was by the NBA. They officially levied down that suspension, that ban. We heard from Charles Barkley, though, man. He said, look, let him back into the game. Tyrese Halliburton, after game number two, after game number two actually got the chance post game to give a little shout out to Papa Hall.
Tyrese, thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate you.
Free your dad. Free your dad, free brother. Pops. Free pops. Pops. Free pops.
Free pops. Free pops goes backwards, man. Free pops.
So good on Tyrese Halliburton and the inside the NBA crew making light of the situation. Normally when Charles Barkley like goes out on a limb and advocates for something, it happens. So we'll see whether or not he is in the arena tonight at the field house as Indiana looks to take a commanding 3-0 lead over the New York Knicks. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, let's get to the National Football League here for a second. What are the Steelers doing at quarterback? Discuss that next. +1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Tapped into the youngest and Charles and L. Willingham. I will take you up to 105 before Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler get you warmed up for the series finale of Nats and Giants. Nats looking to take 2 out of 3 from San Francisco. Michael Soroka on the bump for D.C. It is a 135 first pitch. Pregame coverage is rolling at 105. Right here on The Fan. So, look, I am honestly in a spot right now as a I'm in a spot right now as a sports fan, where it's like at certain points in my sports fandom, I look at things that make sense and things that don't make sense. One thing that I don't understand right now is what the hell the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing at the quarterback position. So they brought back Mason Rudolph this offseason, and right now the only Steeler quarterbacks under contract are Mason Rudolph and Will Howard. Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson. Will Howard obviously was drafted this year by the Pittsburgh Steelers in round number 6. And I like me some Will Howard. He's actually, if I was going to have a comp for Will Howard, him and Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State were actually very similar in terms of, you know, their build, stature, and how they play the position. I think when I look at Will Howard, he's got a little bit more twitch and wiggle to him. The way Will Howard played in that college football playoff, I think you got to feel good about him in your program if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. But those two guys don't matter, because everyone and their mama feels like the Steelers are going to sign Aaron Rodgers. It is yet to happen. We don't know if he's waiting for the offseason program and the voluntary portion of practice to happen. But I don't know. If you had to inject me right now with truth serum and ask me, will Aaron Rodgers play in 2025, I would say yes. I think he is the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers eventually. But if he is not, I think the Steelers have two good contingency plans in place. Here is Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin about 3 weeks ago at the owners' meetings talking about Aaron Rodgers in the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
How unsettling is it, or is it, to not have this situation?
I'm really comfortable with being unsettled this time of year, to be quite honest with you. It's about talent acquisition. We got two main means of acquiring talent, free agency in the draft. We multitask. We do both. Those needs that we fulfill in free agency, we do so there, and when we don't, we fulfill it in the draft. And so I just learned over the years that this time of year, although, you know, day-to-day it can be somewhat uncomfortable, it is a process.
It's Mike Tomlin talking about Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers has spent a considerable amount of time at the Steelers facility. He had that meeting where he was out in Latrobe, and he was there for 6-7 hours and met with everybody on the coaching staff. I think it was then where they built their plan, where they went, all right, you're not going to sign. This is my thought on it. Think about Rodgers last year and the hubbub that came out of New York when he skipped the mandatory workouts, when he skipped the voluntary workouts. I think what Tomlin and the Steelers have done is say, hey, look, bro, we understand that you're long in the tooth. You're a veteran. Aaron Rodgers is actually going through a lot of stuff off the field right now. Personally, a lot of folks a couple of different folks in his inner circle, according to Rodgers, is dealing with cancer right now. And he's trying to be, you know, a supportive friend. And I know a lot of you all, it's really nasty the way that we talk about Rodgers at times. You all act like he's the most divisive piece of crap that exists. I think it's really sad that our personal opinions on Aaron Rodgers have influenced the way we talk about him as a football player. As a football player, you put Aaron Rodgers on the Pittsburgh Steelers with the current group and cast of weapons that they got, and you feel pretty damn good about that football team. Now, the other thing is this, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, you can't trust him, right? I know Mike Tomlin and company have a contingency plan and are going to either roll with Mason Rudolph or Will Howard if they don't bring Rodgers in, but I think it goes to a bigger picture conversation here. Because if you're the Steelers, right, why do you want Aaron Rodgers? Why do you want Aaron Rodgers? Because you think you're right on the doorstep, of being a contender in the AFC, being a legitimate Super Bowl team. That's why you want him. If you don't have Aaron Rodgers this year and you roll with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard, hopefully, Will Howard shows you enough in camp to where he's able to beat out Rudolph. And if it's close between those two, I think the edge will go to Howard. But with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback, what are you, a 7-win team, 8-win team? With Will Howard as quarterback, you know, I'll give him 9-10 wins because I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt for the unknown part. But this is the problem with Pittsburgh. They're never bad enough to where they can get at the top of the draft to select a signal caller that can be the franchise guy moving forward. They thought Kenny Pickett was it late in the first round a couple of seasons ago. But that's been the big problem with Pittsburgh, is their inability to find an answer at quarterback. And it feels like, and whether this is fair or not is up for debate, doesn't it feel like Mike Tomlin catches all the shrapnel for the Steelers not having a franchise quarterback? When in reality, he should. Omar Khan is the GM in Pittsburgh that pushes the buttons. Omar Khan is the ultimate decision maker when it comes to player personnel. Does Mike Tomlin have influence? Sure. But is Mike Tomlin ultimately making the decision? Probably not. So I think it's a very interesting dynamic that exists right now in Pittsburgh. And it feels like to me, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign with the Steelers, it could get real interesting in the Steel City next year. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we'll play a little game. Overrated versus underrated. Next here on The Fan. The number you can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take you up to 105. Nats baseball comes your way. Then Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. We get you warmed up for the series finale of Nats and Giants. 1:35 first pitch. Michael Soroka on the bump. You can hear the action right here on The Fan. Right now, we go out to the phones. Our guy Jim is in Maryland. Has a sneaky destination for Aaron Rodgers. What's going on, Jim?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, man.
Suggestion of Aaron Rodgers going to New Orleans is based on the fact that New Orleans, Derek Carr is not playing. He's retired. They have the Louisville quarterback who's capable, but he's certainly not ready for the NFL. New Orleans has a lot of tools, and that NFC South could easily be won by Aaron Rodgers.
So I think that's a really good point. The division is not the strongest, but I do think it's kind of starting to borderline, Jim, of being underrated, right? I do think like Michael Penix and the Falcons are going to be a good team this year. I think Bryce Young takes another step this year with Carolina. So, I don't know. I do get your overarching point, though. There's just no chance Rodgers is going to play in New Orleans to me, though.
I guess that's right. I just think he's going to find the division the Steelers are in is an impossible division.
I think that's a good point as well. You want to win at this juncture of your career. Jim, we'll let you go here, but make sure you keep it on The Fan because I think you'll be interested in this audio. We got coming up. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone mention the possibility of Aaron Rodgers going to the New Orleans Saints. Ironically enough, this was about 6 minutes ago. Aaron Rodgers had this to say about playing for the Saints.
Our free agent now. Would you ever consider playing for the Saints and making us great again? Because you
know. No. That's the answer.
All right, next question.
I've played there a couple times, but no. The answer is no. I'm too old. I don't want to live in Louisiana. Sorry.
That's Aaron Rodgers 6 minutes ago. The irony in that, right? Poor Jim in Maryland. That was a good idea, though.
That's tough.
That is tough.
It happens to the best of us.
Man, that is fascinating. Well, look, we were supposed to play overrated, underrated here. We're kind of tight on the time here, so we'll do it anyway. Let's do a little overrated, underrated.
Yeah, we got like 4 minutes.
So
minutes.
I have four categories here: overrated, underrated, overrated cookout foods, underrated cookout foods, overrated summer activities, overrated rappers, underrated rappers, and I think you'll get a kick out of this, overrated and underrated play-by-play broadcasters.
Mm.
That's always a fun one to do. Cookout foods. The most overrated cookout food that exists? Ribs. There's something about ribs. Everybody loves a slab of pork lathered in barbecue sauce. It's nasty. Not that it's nasty. Let me not go out on a limb and say that because I'm a big food guy. It's just not. If I'm at a cookout and ribs are on the spread and that's the only meat that's there, I'm probably going to get it. Other than that, it stays wherever it is. Give me a hot dog. Give me a cheeseburger. Give me grilled chicken. Give me a kebab. The most underrated cookout food is the one I just listed, the hot dog. The hot dog is it's one of the most underrated foods, period, in terms of you get a good hot dog, and obviously I think your bun makes your hot dog. I have had some bad bun situations both ways, no pun intended, but you dress that bad boy up in some diced onions and some ketchup, some mustard. I'm not a relish guy. I don't think the sweet kind of makes sense there, but I need a little crunch when I'm eating something, you know? So I love some diced onions on there, ketchup, mustard. That's my most underrated cookout food. What's your most overrated and underrated cookout food, Ben?
Would you classify pork chops as a cookout food?
I love me some pork chops, man.
If that, because I'd say that's overrated for me personally.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Pork chop is like the cousin of ribs.
Yeah, I don't. So I like pork. Don't get me wrong, because I was going to say probably one of the more underrated items would be pulled pork. Love pulled pork sandwiches.
I hate them.
To die for.
I hate them. I'm just not a big.
Really?
I'm not a big pork guy. So.
Well, hey, shout out Todd Palooza again.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was the spread like yesterday?
So it's always Mission Barbecue.
Okay.
It was different yesterday. It was I'm drawing a blank of the name, but this was some of the best barbecue I'd had in a long time.
Okay.
Unbelievable stuff. They had the ribs, which you think are overrated, but I really like the ribs.
Okay.
some chicken thighs, mac and cheese, potato salad, cornbread. All that stuff. Linnelli, you would have gone crazy over here.
I love mac
and don't forget about the keg, too.
So, there is a video out there surfacing online. I did a keg stand back in the day.
You did?
Me doing a keg stand. Yeah,
who held you up?
My two friends. I actually ruined a party.
What?
I shut down one of the most banger day parties ever in the state of Pennsylvania. I was at IUP, and it was a darty, day party. We were hammered the night before. Got like 2 hours of sleep, woke up at 8 a.m., started drinking again. Party starts at 9:30. This was the craziest thing. We made it on Do It For State. You know the Do It For State page? Have you heard of that?
I can imagine what it is.
It's basically like it's a Instagram page that.
Yeah, like, they just post like funny party clips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
College lit videos. People were jumping off the roof of this party off of a mattress, sliding off of a mattress off of the roof of a house in the bushes. And it made it on Do It For State. I was hammered, by the way. There was this. With a building or a house, there are four windows, but in the middle of the windows, there's brick.
Yeah.
So, my thing that night, and I was a freshman in college, people, so chill on me. My thing that night was breaking all the empty bottles. I was having a feel. We were breaking bottles everywhere. It was awesome.
What's wrong with you?
It was just fun to hear the crack, and it was cool, and we were drunk. It was something fun to do. So, my last bottle that I tried to break, I was like, instead of just throwing it on the ground, I'm going to throw it at the brick that's at the house. As soon as I let the bottle go, it went through the top left window, and that was all she wrote. Mine's just a banger of a party. Hundreds of people are here.
How did the instant regret hit right away?
No. So, I immediately went inside. And kind of just blended in and acted like it wasn't me. Then I'm standing in the kitchen and someone goes, it was him. Literally 20 people start surrounding me. My boy Scrap tells this story better than I do because he's the one that invited me to the party. 20 people surround me. Then this random drunk chick, God bless her. If I can find her today, I'd give her a big old kiss. She goes, no, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. And it directed the attention away from me just long enough for me to get the hell out of there. I ended up having to pay for that window with my birthday money on that birthday. $250.
What the hell?
Good story, though, right? It was fun.
It's hilarious.
It was fun. Overrated and underrated summer activities. Going to the pool, completely overrated. The pool's such a dirty tub of goo.
See, I'm going to the beach is overrated.
Yeah, I would rather beach than the pool. I just think it's so overrated. It just feels nasty.
I'm a ginger. You can probably put it together why I don't like the beach.
Yeah, what do you come out looking like after you dip that in some water? Like,
not good.
Not good. We'll leave it at that. My guy, Mr. Han underscore Dolo, my dog, always tweets at me, says, no BBQ sauce, bro. Dry rub on the ribs. So I would rock with the dry rub ribs more.
They had this. It was Black Hog Barbecue, by the way.
That's okay. Black Hog Barbecue. There we go. So shout out Black Hog. But Mr. Han Dolo says, try the ribs with no sauce. That's interesting. When we come back, we will continue our overrated versus underrated. On the other side of the break, overrated rappers and underrated rappers. And then this is my favorite one, overrated and underrated play-by-play broadcasters. That is next on The Fan.